Detective, starring the world's greatest living magician, Blackstone. He tells you the inside story of the Cellini Statuette. And right after the story, Blackstone will explain tricks that you yourself can perform. Reveal the guarded secrets of the world's greatest living magician. Blackstone, the Magic Detective.
Hello, Rhoda.
Oh, good grief, Don. My, haven't we gone formal all of a sudden?
Hello, Don. Why are you all dressed up in a dinner jacket?
Well, it's not because I wanted to. I hate these boiled shirts.
And why all the glamour?
I'm supposed to go to a party.
A party?
Well, it's not a party, exactly.
Oh, make up your mind, Mr. Hancock. Is it or isn't it?
Well,
yes.
You're making a lot of sense tonight, aren't you, Don?
What I mean is, it isn't exactly a party.
You said that before.
It's an exhibit, sort of, the Cellini Adonis.
Oh, I've heard of it. It's supposed to be very beautiful. Silver, isn't it?
Oh, that's the one.
A man named Stephen Glenridge owns it now and is having a showing.
Oh, you are very fortunate to be able to see it. It's supposed to be one of the great masterpieces of the world.
I was wondering if you and Rhoda would like to come with me. I know it'll be all right with Glenridge.
Why, thank you very much, Don. I'd like to. Rhoda?
Oh, I'd love it. Oh, you better dress, though, hadn't you? I wouldn't want to shame Don in front of his friends.
Oh, don't be a goon, Rhoda. You shouldn't be so impressed with a dinner jacket.
Ooh, I am. When do you see me in my war paint? Russell's admirers tell me it's really something.
Yeah, I'll whistle when you come back.
I didn't know you knew Stephen Glenridge, Don.
Oh, I don't, but a friend of mine is the art critic on one of the Baileys, and he had a batch of passes, and he gave me three.
Funny that Glenridge should have the statuette.
Why? He's a collector. Goodness knows he's got money enough to buy anything.
I'm not so sure about that. I know that a great deal of it came from inside Germany. I imagine the war has sort of cramped his style.
Yeah, down to his last yacht, I suppose. And all the money in the world, except $16.
Where'd he get the statuette, Don? Do you remember?
Well, he bought it from some refugee who was hard up, my friend told me.
Well, I'd better dress too. Make yourself comfortable. I'll be down in a minute.
This is quite a place Glenridge has here, and it looks like a museum.
Yes, it does. What time are they going to show the statuette down?
Oh, I can't wait to see it.
Well, 10 o'clock, I think. It's supposed to be in that case over there with the shawl on it.
Well, you'll have to wait about half an hour anyway. It's only 9:30 now.
Mr. Blackstone, this is an honor. I'm Stephen Glenridge.
Oh, how do you do?
I've enjoyed your show many times.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Glenridge.
I've heard you're quite a collector, too, Mr. Blackstone.
Yes, Don, we've gotten some punch and dye in the first.
Oh, there's punch in the first room on your right, Mr. Hancock. Perhaps Mr. Blackstone will enjoy some, too.
Thanks, no. Later, perhaps.
I'll be back.
So my collecting is quite different from yours, Mr. Glenridge. I just collect magic.
Isn't all beauty magic? I have often thought so.
In a way, perhaps you're right.
But, Don, what on earth's the matter? It's white as a sheet.
You brought up the smoke. Poof. Reminded me of some of your tricks. Such a pretty rose. Kind of always liked. Silvery and...
You're dabbling, Don. What on earth are you trying to say?
Right in my hand. Poof.
Poof?
Yeah, it was gone. Nothing left. Just a flash of it.
What are you talking about, Don?
I'm telling you.
I'm afraid it's a pun. I must tell the butler to cut down on the brandy a little.
No brandy, a rose. I mean...
I'm taking you out on the balcony for a little fresh air.
I must see to the rest of my guests. We'll see you later.
Okay, you come on this way, Don. You'll feel better in a minute.
Well, I couldn't feel worse.
Say, now, what is all this about? You haven't been drinking, have you, Don?
Of course not. I went to get the punch for Rhoda, and I took the wrong turn. To the left instead of the right. A little room, and there was a bowl of roses on the table.
Don't tell me the whole bowl went poof.
No, just one rose went poof. The kind I've always liked, and well, I reached out to touch one of them. It exploded into thin air. A flash of light, and then nothing.
Did the rose look any different from any of the others in the bowl?
It's sort of silvery, that's all.
That's funny. Well, there's probably some explanation.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I'm going to unveil the Cellini statuette.
Oh,
help me. Come on, we don't want to miss this.
Will you all stand back, ladies and gentlemen? We have a special sort of lighting arrangement in the case. And I want you all to catch your first glimpse of the statue at a distance. After that, you may examine it at will. Ready? I'll turn on the light inside the case and whisk off the torch. There it is. Benito Cellini's statue of Adonis.
Oh. Oh, it's beautiful.
Wait till you see the detail on it. That's what made Cellini the master he was.
The light? Oh, the lights have gone off.
What is this?
Oh. Get me a light switch, son. Turn it on, quick. Don't anybody move.
Oh, the light, thank heaven.
Look, Black Thorn. The statuette is gone. The case is broken.
And there's an elephant gun from the collection on the wall.
Everyone stay where they are. We'll have to be searched. Call the police, someone.
There's no need for that.
I beg your pardon, Mr. Blackstone.
Get that gun down.
What are you driving at, Blackstone?
Cover Glenridge, Don.
Me?
Yes. You.
Okay. You're covered, mister.
And stop shaking, Don. The thing will go off in your hand.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Put that gun down, Hancock.
Don't you do it, Don.
I'll hang on if it kills me, and well, it probably will.
I demand an explanation.
You'll get one, or an apology if I'm wrong, which I don't think I am. Rhoda?
Yes, sir.
Look at the case where the statuette was. On the bottom of the case, there is a base the statue was on, right?
Right.
The base is stained as though with smoke, right?
Right.
And around the base, there are a few bits of charred paper.
Oh, that's right.
What does this prove, Blackstone? We're wasting time. The thief can get away.
No, he can't. We have him. Don Hancock has an elephant gun trained on him.
Oh, great Scott.
You're the thief, Glenridge. The police will prove it when they discover the real statuette hidden somewhere around this house. Call the police, Rhoda.
Here's a nice cold drink, Don. You just sit down and relax.
Relax. I'll never be able to relax again. I wasn't cut out for this sort of thing. Look, Blackstone, explain it all to me all over again, will you?
You were there, Don.
Well, frankly, I wouldn't be the one to know. Your Honor, everything went black.
Well, I suspected something was funny when you told me Glenridge had the statuette. I knew he'd suffered heavy losses. All his money was tied up in germs. He couldn't have had the price for the statue.
And then you told us about the rose that went poof.
And mentioned that the rose seemed silver.
That sort of spelled flash powder. You know, the kind photographers use. That's the only thing that would make the rose explode like that.
Yeah, but the statuette exploded too, and yet the police found it hidden in the secret
paddle in Glenridge's house.
Don, sometimes I don't think you're quite right. What exploded was a paper mache model of the statue.
And the model had been sprayed with flash powder?
Yeah, and some of the powder had got onto the rose as the model was being sprayed.
Yeah, but how did you know it was Glenridge?
Well, the case was smashed, but still the opening wasn't large enough for the statue to have been removed. And that was something Glenridge hadn't figured on when he shot it with the elephant gun.
One more thing I want to know. Why?
The refugee who brought that statue into the country wasn't a refugee, but a German spy. Glenridge was to steal it, collect the insurance, and split with the Nazi agents in this country.
Well, I'll be darned.
I suspected something funny when you said a refugee stole in the statue. It was too big to smuggle out of the country, and the Nazis wouldn't have let anyone take anything that valuable, unless they wanted them to.
So another mystery was solved by magic. And Don Hancock. Look, there's one favor I want to ask.
Well, what is it, Don?
Just tell me about cases from now on. Don't take me along, too. And now, how's about a trick to take our minds off all this, if anything ever can? What trick are you going to show us now, Blackstone?
A very famous one, Don, that hasn't been done for 450 years.
Don't tell me it takes that long to learn.
If you don't know the secret, it would take at least that long. Christopher Columbus once performed it.
You mean you're going to discover a continent, Blackstone?
No, I'm going to balance an egg. Legend has it that Columbus balanced an egg as part of his argument that the world was round.
Legend also has it that he broke the end of the egg in order to do it.
But we aren't breaking any eggs.
Yeah, but Blackstone, you have three eggs on that dish. Don't the trick work the first time?
Of course it will, Don. Those extra eggs are for you and Rhoda. So take your pick and we'll all start together right here on this table.
Hey, look out, Rhoda. You'll crack that egg.
Not with this tablecloth on the table, Don. And a little thump won't hurt.
Well, I suppose not. In fact, the tablecloth ought to make the trick a bit easier.
Not for you, it won't, Don.
And why not?
Because you're trying to balance the egg on its small end, Don.
That's right. Well, I'll have to try the other way around, I guess. Doesn't doesn't help much, though.
Oh, it doesn't. These are strictly non-balanceable eggs.
You think so, Rhoda? Well, just take a look over here.
But look, Don. Blackstone has balanced his egg already.
Oh, that's impossible. But you're right, Rhoda.
You're right, too, Don. It's impossible, but there it is, an egg standing upright. And if you think it isn't magic, well, here. Just examine the egg for yourself.
Say, it's just a perfectly ordinary egg. But how did you make it balance?
Well, we'll let Rhoda try it a few minutes, Don. And if you can't make the trick work, I'll be back to explain. Now, Rhoda, how are you doing at balancing an egg?
Balancing an egg is worse than balancing a budget. It just won't work.
Look, Rhoda, just set the egg carefully on the big end, here on the table, and...
It's balanced again.
Of course, because I'm using a white tablecloth. This is a perfect trick for the dinner table, Rhoda.
You're spoofing us now, Blackstone. How can a white tablecloth help the trick?
Well, just take a close look, Don, after I lift the egg.
I don't see anything.
Hey, wait, I do. I feel it now that there's salt on this tablecloth.
Exactly. Spilling salt is good luck before you balance the egg. Just make a little pile of salt like this.
On the white tablecloth where nobody will notice it.
That's right. Then set the egg carefully on the table, using the salt like a little golf tee. And there's the egg. Balanced.
Well, you proved that Columbus was right, Blackstone.
I hope you liked that trick, ladies and gentlemen. And until next time, this is Blackstone saying good magic. And goodbye.
Be with us next time when the world's greatest living magician, Blackstone, tells us the story of the Curse of Kali and explains more tricks that you yourself can perform. Listen in again to Blackstone, the world's greatest living magician.